I'm not sure, but the shiur today may be a little bit more difficult than the usual shiur, except for the fact that I know my students. You can rise to the challenge, and you can relax. This shiur is not going to be an attack on anybody. This shiur is going to be, if anything, if I get to the end of the shiur, Gesundheit, it's going to be a song of praise to Klal Yisrael. And it's based on two magnificent pieces from Rav Avrom Yitzhak HaKohen Cook, the Hitzadik Levoch, the great Rav Cook. Unbelievable. They blew my mind away. And if they blow my mind away, then I have to share it with you. Number one is, we're going to go through this very quickly. This is chapter 12, famous chapter 12 in Shmos Vayom HaSul Anosh Kolano Beres Yitzhan Leymar HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshet. This month shall be unto you the first of all months. This is the first of all the months of the year. Speak to the entire congregation of the people of Israel. Tell them that on the 10th day of this month you shall take unto yourself a shepsel for each family. And you have to be signed up on the set. People in this house, if you need, you can use the people in the next house. You have to hold on to this shepsel until the 14th day of Nisan, and the 14th day of Nisan you are going to sacrifice it. It's going to be the first Korban Pesach in history. These are the final preparations for the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt. More than that, we are now, at this point and this year, we are going to be at the birth of a nation. The birth of a nation. And we can bear eloquent testimony 4,000 years later that that nation is here, alive and well and kicking, and a whole world is focused on this little country. A whole world is focused here. Everything that happens here, somebody sneezes in Beit Shemesh. The whole world knows it. So I use code words. Sneeze is a code word. If somebody coughs in Yerushalayim, you understand Washington shakes. Okay. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. And it's going to be, I believe, part of the of what I'm going to understand Rav Cook as saying here. Anyway, so here it is. We are present at the birth. This is it. Somebody or other is already in labor, and the child is emerging. Okay, so God says that you will slaughter it, and you're going to put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, and I'm going to come down upon the land of Egypt, and I'm going to pass over your homes, and there's going to be the plague of the death of the firstborn, and you should eat with it. You should eat matzah together with matzah, come Pesach. This is what you're supposed to do. Don't leave anything over until morning. Let's go to where it's underlined. The kacha tochlu oto. So shall you eat it. You know how you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach? Matnechem chargurim, your loins girded. I don't think I ever knew what loins girded means, but I don't know what suspenders count, you understand? But I imagine a belt. By the way, they notice it. Somebody called me this week and said, I saw on the shiur you were wearing suspenders last week. So don't somebody notice if I wear the same tie one week after the next, we'll have to get a whole bunch of ties and change. Okay. Anyway, loins girded. I imagine it's like they have their belts and they're ready to move, but it's more than that. Naar lechem ve'art lechem. Your shoes are on your feet. U'makelchem bi'edchem. Your walking sticks are in your hands. And if we're talking about a people poised, ready to move. V'achaltem oto b'fi pazon. And you should eat the Korban Pesach b'fi pazon. Translation here is eat it in haste. Eat it in haste. Pesach ul Hashem. This is a Pesach sacrifice to God. And I'm not so sure what chazon means. But a number of things I can tell you. The halacha of eating the Korban Pesach b'chipazon in haste was only that Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. All further generations, there is no halacha of b'chipazon. By the way, I'm beginning to think that the chipazon is the opposite of what we do. By us, the halacha is we are supposed to recline. You know how I think we're supposed to have the Seder nowadays? I mean, I do it with the way my father did it. Before the Seder began, my father zog gemar bakvein. Anybody who doesn't know Yiddish, I will translate it. You make yourself comfortable. You get out of the fancy Shabbos suit. You put on a shnata, comfortable pair of pants. You take off your shoes and you wear slippers. And then you put on a kittel. The whole atmosphere of the Seder is, you got it, bakvein. Comfortable. I remember a friend of mine here was once driving the Anshin of a Rebbe to Tveria, big tzaddik, and it was a very hot day. So he asked the Rebbe's permission, like, to take off his jacket. I will not quote the Rebbe exactly, but he basically said, you can take off anything you want, as long as you're bakshmein. You don't have to sit in the car, you know, with a vacation or strammel. It's a hot day on the way to Tveria. The night of Pesach, you sit bakvein. But it's more than sit. You're supposed to recline. Free men, sit with a sense of being perfectly relaxed by the Seder. That's not the way it was in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim was the precise opposite of bakvein. I don't know what the Yiddish word for it would be, but it meant poised, ready, konenud givoha. How do you say that in English?
I alert.
Say that again.
High alert.
On alert.
High alert.
Good. The night of Pesach, it was high alert. At any moment, the march is going to begin. Sense of purpose, destiny, great things are happening. It's of course all generations after that great thing happened that night, we can sit back and relax, regardless of what may have happened to us during the course of history, but the freedom that became ours that night of Pesach, as no one has ever been able to take it away from us. Even when we were enslaved to other people, the Jewish spirit always remained free. So here it is, chipazon. Ready to go. So now, number two is the Sforno, and right after that is Rashi. Let's take a look at the Rashi first. Then we'll go to Sforno. Rashi says, Matnechem chagurim mizumanim laderech. You're ready to go at a moment's notice. B'chipazon, in haste. This word is Lashon Behalo Umehidu, an expression of haste and speed. Kumo Vayehi. David Nechpaz Alech, and it says, David was in a haste to go. Asher Yishlichu Aram Bechavzan. Aram, after a battle with Israel, they, in their haste to leave, they had left all sorts of things behind. So it's haste and it's speed. And as I say now, we've just developed the idea that it's precisely the opposite of the way we're supposed to sit down to the Seder. Here is a blessed tension of any minute now, big things are going to happen, and we're going to begin the process of moving. We're going. Let's go back up to the Sephirno, immediately above the Rashi. Mosnechem Chagurim. Mizumanim Laderech. Seems like the exact same words as Rashi. Mizumanim Laderech. We're ready for the road. Ke'inyan, as it says, by Yishanes Matnav, I think that was by Eliyahu, that he girded his loins and he began to move. One sentence, the Sephirno says, Lahorot. This comes to teach us al bitachon bilti misupak bakel yidbarach. This is a supreme expression of absolute trust and faith in God without any doubt. Ready to move at any moment into the unknown. We're following the Rabbeinu and Moshe. There are no doubts. There are no questions. Because they are preparing themselves to travel while they're still in prison. We've talked in the past about this idea. You know what they were doing the night of Mitzrayim? They were celebrating Hey Iyar and Dalet Iyar 1948, or they were celebrating July 4th, 1776, on July 3rd. They are celebrating their independence while they're still in Egypt. Can you imagine what a fascinating Seder that must have been? They're eating the Korban Pesach. So you know what they say? We're eating this Korban Pesach, our shame, because we believe that God is going to pass over our homes. We're celebrating freedom in advance of the freedom. Do you know what an expression of trust and faith and liberation this is? It's unbelievable. Whoever celebrated their independence before they became independent? But that's what they're doing. That's what the Torah says. They're preparing themselves for the road, while they're still in jail. They're still in prison. Act of unbelievable faith in God. Maybe we'll just take a look at the first Sephirno also. Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodoshim. This month shall be unto you the first of months. Mikam ve'elech, from here on and further, yiyu hachadoshim shalachem. Months belong to you. Lasos behem kiritzonchem, to do what you want as you wish. You know what he means? You become the masters of your own time. While you were imprisoned, time didn't belong to you. Time belonged to Paro. You didn't own time. You were forced to do what he wanted. Watch what he says. I will be mayor Shibu during the days of the enslavement. Loy ho you yemechem shalachem, your days were not yours. Avahayula vodata chedim uritzono. All of your time was to do work for others, and you were forced by their will. You had no will of your own. Therefore, this becomes the first of the months of the year. Bo hitchil Mitzuchem ha-bechidi. What masterful words. With this begins your reality of choice. You now have choice. You didn't have it for who knows how long. You can choose. You're free. It's beginning now. And therefore it's going to express itself in the idea that time becomes yours. Then of course that places upon you the responsibility to make sure that you utilize time. You don't waste time. You don't mark time. Did I say waste? I said waste? I said mark? Okay, all right.
You use time.
Don't kill time, that's it. Kill time. Time aside, you don't kill time. All right? The other side. Right-hand side. Rav Kook. Can read. I tell you to skip, we'll skip a little bit, but hang in there, it's worthwhile. Chipazon. Yetziat ha-chipazon, going out in haste. B'yisoda haita atzat Hashem. Fundamentally, this was God's counsel. He wanted that you should sit at the Seder. B'chipazon. What was his purpose in this? L'harim ma'alatam shel Yisrael, to raise the level of the Jewish people. Shelo al pi derech ha-yitpatchut ha-sidurit. Not in the normal way in which things develop. I'll tell you in a sentence the idea that Rav Kook is going to develop. Most nations, no, not most, all nations come into being by virtue of a process, an evolutionary process. A people is not born in one single instant of time. There are people who move into a certain country, a certain area. It takes who knows how many years until they develop a language of their own, until they begin to develop a culture of their own, until they have a history of their own. It may take hundreds of years until a nation emerges from people who've come to live in a particular place in the world. America also took hundreds of years. That's right. Yeah, from the time that the pilgrims came here, Plymouth Rock. From the time of the pilgrims until more and more people started coming to the United States, finally it became from one colony to 13 colonies. And most probably what did more for creating the United States of America was England's, King George's taxation without representation. It's always easy to gather around the banner of hating the tyrant. No taxation without representation. It took time until an American nation came into being. Must have Germany, France, even Italy. You read history, how long did it take until, to take me back so many years, the unification of Italy. Italy were a whole bunch of city-states until finally, it was only a century or a century and a half ago. Who was it? Was it Garibaldi? Or yeah. I got the right guy? It wasn't Simon Bolivar. That was South America. But everybody, till England became a country, and I don't know, there's still problems over there. I have to read newspapers, with Scotland and with Ireland, Frankish. It's not so pushy. The Germanic states, until they became, and then the great Soviet Union, understand, went through an opposite process before our very eyes in the last 20 years. It broke up into 20 different states. Which means that what seemed to be that great massive mother of Russia was not such a mother Russia, you understand? Okay. It's always a process of evolution. it takes hundreds of years. And Tzad Hashem, God's counsel was, here, for the first time in history, and the last time, there's going to be a people that will be brought into existence, not in an evolutionary manner, but in a revolutionary act of one single moment in time. That's what's going to happen. And that chipazon, being ready, being on alert, you're waiting for the moment of your own birth as a people, he says. The Rebbe Lishon wanted that Israel should come into existence. Lo pi derech ha-hitpatchut, evolution or development, sidudit. And sidudit, most probably he means chronological or cause and effect. You know, A, B, C, D, finally you achieve nationhood, a people. No. This is going to be Am Achshav. The first Achshav. A nation, now. Shekol umo mitpatechet b'sigarem ha-tiviyim. All nations of the world develop in a normal order of things. It will achieve its greatness both materially and culturally or spiritually. Slow. Parvolichka, step by step. What he's describing now is that there was an awesome potential within the Jewish people when they were in Egypt, and that potential was being suppressed. And all that was necessary was to remove that power that suppressed it, and all of a sudden, all of the great intellectual, spiritual, national power of the Jewish people would immediately rise to the floor. They were kvushim, but only they were suppressed and held down by poverty and being low, chamdit umusadit, both materially and morally. Yotzu bepeta pitom min hakoach el apol. Suddenly, in a simple instant of time, it all went from potential in to the real world. They became transformed in moments, in seconds. They became transformed from lowly servants to a cultured people with a divine culture, great and of such heights, single instant in time. That's what they're waiting for as they sit by that Seder. They are waiting for the great moment at which this nation is going to be born. La'am Kadosh, from Avodim Shvelim, from lowly slaves, they become a holy people, Haroi, La'adracha Hayoter Yona. They are worthy that they should be led and taught by the greatest teacher of them all, God Almighty Himself. Lo'or Hayoter Gadol, from that darkness of Egypt, they're going to come out to the greatest light of all, Shel Torah Emet. That great light is the true Torah. V'hine kam, nolad goy pam achat. I should have had that on the line. Here, a people was born in one single instant. V'ar Hashem asdal zot. It was the hand of God that did this. L'hamid et Yisrael et goy lefonov al yedei yodov hachazaka. That he's going to establish this people before him with a great mighty hand. Okay, therefore, Hayaha Ikar de Binyan, what was so important to the construction of this people, Shulut Tiyemu Urevet Betsuratam Hul Alumit, Shum Tsurat Kulturit. There should not be mixed in or assimilated into this people any strange or foreign culture. It has to be pristine, natural, organic Jewishness. That's what he wants. ואותו המעט שנדבק בידם ועבודזור של מצרים, משהו ידע ממנו. The little bit of Egyptian idolatry that had rubbed off on them was removed. Earlier it had said that when they take the Korban Pesach, Mishku Yedechem, remove your hands, and Chazal say it means remove your hands from idolatry. And the process by which we remove that idolatry was by bringing the Korban Pesach to God. So we cleanse ourselves. Kodesh Shechitat HaPesach, before the Korban Pesach was slaughtered. Ad Shehayu Mishulalim Mikol Tzura LeUmit. What meant was that when we divested ourselves in Egypt from anything that we had internalized of the Egyptian culture, you know what we are? We are cultureless, zero, or tabula rasa. We are a piece of paper on which nothing has been written. And you know what? Now can come the great imprint of God Almighty on us. Now it was possible shetachul aleihem habat hatzurah elokit. Now, with no culture whatsoever, it is possible to imprint upon them the divine form of God Almighty and His people. B'tor miyasedet habinyan shel ha'umah b'chlala. This is the foundation of this great people. Hashem badad yanchenu ve'ein imo el mecha. What a beautiful way he reads the pasuk. God alone is going to lead the Jewish people, and there are no other divinities with him. They had cleansed and purified themselves by the Korban Pesach of all of the idolatry of Egypt, and they are ready to be the servants of God. It goes on to say that if not for that, then the Jewish people would have had to develop little by little over a long period of time. It was because it was God wanted this people to be His people, therefore their birth has to be miraculous. The little that I will add to this is, by virtue of the fact that the birth of the Jewish people is a miracle, it therefore means automatically that its survival throughout history is going to be a miracle, and there is no force in the world that can stand up against the Jewish people. Okay? That's the way we came into being. You may recall some years ago I had said the opening piece of the Orach HaShulchan in his Haggadah Leil Shimurim, his introduction to the Haggadah basically is on Halach Ma'anya. He says, proves from Sukkim Yishayahu that both Avraham and Sarah were by nature incapable of bearing children. Neither Avraham nor Sarah. Which means, therefore, that the birth of a child to Avraham and Sarah, is a child that was brought into the world completely a divine act, a miracle. And I had said then that just as the birth of that first Jew, Yitzchak, is a divine miracle, so too will the survival of the Jewish people be divine. It's awesome, you know, we sit around over here and I think that anti-Semites believe more in the chosenness of the Jewish people than we do. We get a little hot under the collar, you know. But boy, do they hold it against us, and they believe it to be true. we're going to see before the end of this year, I have to make sure that you know that it is true. How do you like that? We're talking great things about the Jewish people today. We're not attacking Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We're not attacking Yosef. We're being very nice today. That's the first piece of Rav Kook. As soon as I saw this piece of Rav Kook, it reminded me of another one of his great pieces that I'm only going to be able to, I'll go through it quickly. Number four, we say it in davening every day. It's worthwhile that you should know what we're saying in davening. In Hodu, Zichru lo om brito, remember always the covenant. I think people are unaware. There are times at which I've wanted to tell my friends and fellow Jews in Chutzlaretz that they should read very carefully the beginning of davening. Of course, for those of us who daven smart, it's really the beginning of Psukei Zimra. And if you daven Ashkenaz, look, there are people who do that, okay? Then after Baruch Shamar, you're going to say Hodu. Listen to the most this most significant pronouncement that is made at the beginning of Hodu. Zichru la'olam b'nito, remember forever his covenant. Dovar tzivo le'elef dor, something that God commanded to 1,000 generations. What is it that we have to remember forever? Well, he doesn't say that. You know, you have to remember Asher karat et Avraham, the covenant that God made with Avraham, Ushua told Yitzchak, and to Yitzchak it became an oath of God's. By the time it arrives at Yaakov, it has already become a law of Jewish nature. L'Yisrael b'rit olam, for the people of Israel, this is an eternal covenant. What's he talking about? What do we have to remember every morning at the beginning of davening? Leimar. You know what he told Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? Lecha etei eretz Kanaan. To you I give the land of Canaan. Does not say.
Who's saying?
Well, you know, I'm getting worried already about my audience out there. I want them to say Flatbush. It doesn't say Lecha etei Flatbush. It doesn't even say Lecha etei Mamsi. It doesn't even say Lecha etei Leimar. You know what I'm doing? I'm setting myself up now that I'm going to start getting thousands of emails from the United States, you know. Then there may be somebody who said, well, why don't you leave out Chicago and Detroit? Do you know what the opening of davening is? Remember forever the covenant that I made. The covenant is L'cho etein eretz Kanaan. I guarantee you're never ever going to say Hodu again and just no, you were run through Hodu. Why are you going to stop and say this Hodu? Now I want to point out something else, and this is the Chevron Machvatan B'yotcham Metei Misfar. Listen to this passage. Rav Kook is awesome. When you were but few people, you were just a handful of people, I don't know, Avon, Yitzchak, Rivka, maybe it was already Yaakov, Kima'at. Now the English translation over here that I says few. You were then small in number. That was Metei Misfar, means small in number. What's the meaning of Kima'at? So the translation here says few. Now it's a very, in general, the translation is a good one. This is from the Koran Siddur, the translation of Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. But then you know how Rav Kook learns Kima'at?
Almost.
No. Everybody makes that mistake and thinks that Kima'at is almost, because that's how we use it in Yiddish. Ich bin Kima'at gegangen. I need. No. Kima'at means a very brief period of time. Rav Kook says, and it's a similar idea to the one that he says here. So when I saw the one that he says over here on Chipazon, it immediately connected me to the other one. He says, listen, it's going to sound so similar, but it's different. He says, the relationship between a people and their land develops over many centuries. You don't just come and settle in Scotland and you're a Scotsman, you don't just come moving into France and France becomes your homeland. It took hundreds of years until people developed a bond, a connection, deep and powerful to their land. As Cook says, you know what this pasuk is telling us? Few people, and we were there only a brief period of time, because the connection between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is a gift of God, and that came in a single instant of time. You know what he's saying? Exactly what he says here about the birth of a nation, that the birth of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim came in a single instant of time. Same thing he says, the relationship of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. It's not something that developed over a long period of time. Instant. Take a look, number five. Be Yochan Metein Nisfor Kimat V'gorin Lo. Kesher HaKodesh Shel Yisrael Im Arzo HaKedoshah. The holy bond of the Jewish people with their holy land, Eino Domeh L'Kesher Tivi, is not like any kind of other natural bond. That all other nations and tongues on the face of this earth become bound up to their land. Hakesher HaTivi, the normal bond of the Frenchman, the Englishman, the American to his land, mitpateh rak b'meshach zman rab, it develops only over a long period of time. Ayidei hamon ma'oraot, there are all sorts of things that happen in that land, about that land, with that land. Yes, the colonies. So there's no question about it that the fact that England wanted to take it, there was even a point at which the French wanted to take it. I have to start remembering now my history that I learned 60 years ago. You know, everybody wanted a piece of the rock. But we got Plymouth Rock, you understand? All those events that took place. Bunker Hill, the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Don't shoot until you see the white to the rise. Give me liberty or give me death. The Continental Congress, what took place over 150, 200 years until what emerged was an American people. And you think that it was all fun and games? 100 years later, there's going to be a civil war because there are really two American peoples. There's the South and there's the North, you understand? There's Ulysses Grant and there's Robert E. Lee, you understand? Okay. Till the nation becomes one. Famous. What happened? It's a development, Rav Cook says. It happens because many people gather into one place and they decide that they're going to live there permanently. Then begins a zechiba historic. What begins is a historic love to that land. This is my own, my native land. People are going to give their lives for their homeland. That takes time until it develops. It's so beautiful when he writes it. Until that love for the land begins to beat in the hearts of the generations that come afterwards. And you know what develops? A spiritual relationship between that people and its land. But the divine bond that comes from the source of all holiness, that brings Klal Yisrael together with Eretz Yisrael, shenitkashra b'Knesset Yisrael b'kedushat Eretz Chemda, that bound up the Jewish people with the sanctity of that desirable land, שהתחיל החותם הקדוש הזה להיות מבליט ביותך מתי נספר. You know when it began? It began not when many people had come to live there. We were just a few. You can count us on one hand. ובזמן קצר, very brief periods of time, תקוף, immediately. יחד עם הופיעם בארץ, the love, the bond, Eretz Yisrael became as they appeared in the land, as they came into the land. It didn't take hundreds of years. It didn't take many people. It's an awesome thing. Instant kesher to the land. Instant kesher. Aretz Akshav. Am Akshav. I want to add to what Rav Kook says, there's going to be another great Akshav. That other great Akshav is going to be at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, when Torah is going to be given to the Jewish people. Do you know what's going to happen at that moment? It's going to become an Am HaTorah Akshav. But Shalom Akshav, there will not be until Hashem Ozu Yamo Yitein, God will give strength to the Jewish people. Hashem Yevareich Et Amo Vashalom. God is going to bless his people with Shalom. We're not going to make Shalom, and we're not going to make Shalom Akshav. Oseh Shalom Bimiromav.
Yes.
Who Yaseh Shalom Aleinu V'Kol Yisrael. All right. That was the necessary commercial in the middle. Now, V'od Kodem Likni. You know. He says the kesher of plumbers all that Eretz Yisrael started even before they ever entered the land. Kodem l'knisatam, before they ever came into the land. And you know who had a major hand in that, aside from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? That maligned Yosef before he dies, the great leader of the Egyptian people says, Pakod Yishkod Elokim Etchem, God is going to remember you. V'ha'alitim et atzmotchem Yisraelchem, take me with you to Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to remain here. So he says, even before they came into Eretz Yisrael, Al Yedei Ha'arah Elokit Ha'elyonah, and I have to read it because these words are so holy. They're awesome. And Rav Kook was a prolific author. Hundreds of thousands of pages of what he wrote have not yet been printed even. He very rarely erased. It flowed from him. What did the pasuk say? You were there a short period of time. The bond started when you were but strangers living in the land, because this is a holy bond. Sheshum davar sheyisodo bateva lo azar lakesher hazeh. There was nothing within the natural order of things that assisted them in this time. It was all beyond the natural. For a natural bond to have been developed, you would have needed many years and many people and many events to create that bond with the land. Shaufiyah, because that bond appeared B'toch Yetzirah Elokit B'dvar Hashem B'dkotcho. God created it, he formed it, it was the word of God, his holy covenant. B'chok Shvat Olam. He's using the words of, what did it say? The Brit with Avram, Shvuato the Shvua, the oath to Yitzchak, and by Yaakov it becomes a chok. Next piece. Here are the, this is very important. Everything is very important. The second piece on the Chipazon, he asks an awesome question. The awesome question is based on number 7. There is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Listen to this pasuk. Suru, suru, tzu'umisham. Get out of there. The Navi is saying, get out of the goals. Get out. Tomei. It's impure. Alti go, don't touch. Tsumi tocha. Go out of her. He boru, cleanse yourself. No say clay Hashem those who carry the vessels of God. Get out. the Navi now is going to describe the process of Geula, which Rav Kook says we are now at its beginnings. Kidlo b'chitazon teitzeu. You're not going to go out in haste. Precise opposite of the first redemption. The first redemption, how are you supposed to eat it? Ready, b'chitazon. But not our period of time. No. Our period of time, lo b'chitazon teitzeu. Over minusalo telechon, you're not going to go because you're fleeing. Ki holech lefnechem Hashem, because in this great process of redemption, God goes before you. Umaasifchem Elokei Yisrael, the maasif is the one who comes behind the camp. God is on both sides. He's leading you, and he's there behind you, watching your back. He's watching your back. So I'll tell you, in this piece now, number seven. He asks the question, what's the difference between the Egyptian redemption and the redemption latid level our time? First, Geula is b'chipazon, with haste. The second, no. So he says the following. I'll tell you a little bit, and then I'll tell you where we're going to read. He says that in this process of redemption, you're going to take slow steps, step after step. Not going to come in a single instant of time. You know? Buy another dunam of land, another cow, you know? And another dunam land, build a house, and build another house. Lo b'chipazon teitzeu. It's not going to take place with great haste. And he says, you know why? During the course of history, the light that comes from the Jewish people has enriched the lives of all of mankind. They can talk as much as they want about the Judeo-Christian ideas that envelop the world. Judeo, not Judeo-Christian. There are ideas of ethics, morality, faith, belief that we gave to the whole world. And there's nobody denies it. Nobody can deny it. That's the fact. But then the Talmud goes on to say, Rav Kook goes on to say, there's a great deal more that we have to contribute to the world. And you know why this process has to be a slower process than the redemption from Mitzrayim? Says for two reasons. Two reasons. Here, in the middle paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th line.
What number?
Hamid, a number. A 6.
Toda.
Hamid gamah achat. He says there are two reasons why it has to be slow. Did you catch up with me over there in the middle? The middle column, about 6-7 lines from the top of it, Hamigamah Achat. It's the last thing on the right. Ligmor et hamifal shel orenu anifla b'malo hateno. I read these words. There's a great deal more that we have to contribute to the world. And in this process of Geula, we are going to complete the task that we began many years earlier. Ligmor et hamifal, to complete the task of Oreinu hanifla, the unbelievable light, the Meloha table, the whole world. Whole world has to see what the Jewish people are. Lahatzig otah ha'orah v'tzuratah ha'yisodit ha'tahorah. That great light that emanates from the Jewish people is going to be presented to the world in all of its purity. It has to be pure us, without all that has been added onto us or zugeklebt, that pasted itself to us through 2,000 years. And that's going to bring us to the second point. Now, the first point is that the world is still has a great deal to benefit from our light. And it has to be our pure light, us. And the second thing is that we have a lot to unburden ourselves from. All the countries of the world that we were during the course of history, we've picked up all sorts of impurities, and we have to cleanse ourselves from those impurities. And as we continue the process of cleansing, that's going to bring us closer and closer to ultimate redemption. Shesof kol sof hachalah halilit lo tamar lehem legamri. You know why they have to get light from us? Because after all is said and done, he says, the illness of idolatry has not yet been eradicated from the face of this earth. There are many religions and there are many nations, and even those who see themselves as believing in some kind of a pure religion, there are all sorts of idolatry, laden and overlaid with idolatry. And that they have to benefit from the greatness of the Jewish people, that's one. And the second purpose, in the slow but constant progress moving toward Geula. It's most probably, I would say, we can count it right now at about 120, 130 years that this process began, when the first Jews started coming from Russia and started working the land. Oh, that was the beginning of the process. To remove from us. The first purpose is that a world should receive the benefits and the gifts that we can give to them. And I'm adding, I believe that he means also that they should recognize that they're getting it from us. Not Judeo-Christian, just Judeo. And the second thing is, we have a lot of cleansing to go through. To remove from us cleanse us from all of those inclinations toward the foreign ideas became part of us because of our having mixed and mingled with the nations before Meshach Hazman Ha'aruf, through that long period of time, Shel Hagalut, the exile, the Totsal Teha. And there are things that the Golos did to us. It can't. So it's a matter that the process of Gula has to be that you have to take the you can take the Jews out of Golos, but it's not so easy to take the Golos out of the Jews. And that's the process that we're going through now. Ki oz daf goz then kasher od hapam. When once again we will be able to stand with great might on our own two feet, spiritually, philosophically, so that we may rise over the heights of the world as a great people. Then all of the nations of the world are going to see. Less column. Then the whole world will see our righteousness. The whole world is going to see. Right now, at this moment in history, what we need is not chipazon. We need Lo chipazon, not in haste. You know what we call it here? Savlanut. We need savlanut. We're in a process. Kedei shenuchal lishov koach, so that we should be able to fetch strength mehamayan hagadol from the great waters of Yitziat hachipazon shel gulat ha'avar, that we will be able to take great inspiration from back there. The last page is most probably, I don't know, not more important than Ralph Cook, I think it expresses Ralph Cook's idea. One of the members of my congregation lent me a book called The Israel Test. Dr. Talman Paz lent me this book, The Israel Test. I got it from him before I went to, on my recent trip to the States of Nichum Avelim. The Israel Test is written by, here I have it, George Gilder. See, look where it's 1-2. I'm going to read some selections from, but this is what the whole book is about. We have somebody who quotes Carolyn Glick, can't be all that bad. Carolyn Glick, the dauntless deputy managing editor of the Jerusalem Post, sums it up. Some people admire success, some people envy it. The enviers hate Israel. The thesis of this book is that the deep hatred of Israel in the world is all the result of envy. Watch. He's going to say there's only one country in the whole world that is immediately behind America in science, technology, development. America? Israel. Big America? Little Israel, with about 6 million Jews, is the most awesome power in the world, next to America, in every area of human endeavor. And certainly in the course of the last 20 years that we got rid of the socialism of the original pioneers, you understand, and we became a capitalistic country, we have made major contributions to the world. World doesn't even have a clue how much we have contributed to them. Yeah, somebody called me from the America said he had an operation, they put a stent in. I said, did you take a close look at that stent? You know what it says on it? In Hebrew it says, made in Israel. How many hundreds of millions of lives have been saved by the stent? You understand? I don't want to talk about the fact that there was nothing cell phones, because that's already a mixed blessing. I'm not so sure how much of a blessing it is. Okay. But there would not be cell phones in the world if not for the state of Israel. In this book, George Gilder even mentions a cousin of my wife, Dr. Murray Blumenfeld. He lives a few blocks down over there. I think he developed this camera that can go into the veins and take pictures of the whole body. You know? Get a video of your body, put it on your website. And he happens to, in this book, he happens to list many, many Olim and what they have contributed. But let's read. In countries, number two, in countries where Jews are free to invent and create, they pile up conspicuous wealth and arouse envy and suspicion. In this age of information, when the achievements of mind have widely outpaced the power of masses and material force, Jews have fought much of the science and wealth of the era. Their pioneering contributions to quantum theory enabled the digital age. Their breakthroughs in nuclear science and computer science propelled the West to victory in World War II and the Cold War. Their bioengineering inventions have enhanced the health, and their microchip designs are fueling the growth of nations everywhere. Their genius has leavened the culture and economy of the world. What was he? He was the hydrogen bomb? No. Your husband?
No.
What did he do?
He had nothing to do with bombs.
What did he have to do with?
Nuclear reactors for peaceful purposes.
One of the going into the world, you understand? Yeah. So we have it right here in this most probably another 50 people in this room over here who are in some way related to the Gaon Olam, who've made major contributions to the world. That's right. If our peaceful reactors in the world, it was Dr. Alvin Minkowski. Okay? Vital. Israel today concentrates the genius of the Jews. Obscured by the usual media coverage of the war-torn Middle East, Israel's rarely celebrated feats. of commercial, scientific, and technological creativity climaxed the Jews' 20th century saga of triumph over tragedy. From Auschwitz to becoming one of the most productive countries on the face of this earth. And we're surrounded by dozens of countries that can't pull themselves out of abject poverty. Today, tiny Israel with its population of 7.23 million, this was written in 2009, 5.5 million Jewish stands only behind only the United States in technological contributions. In per capita invention, Israel dwarfs all nations. That's not what Rav Kook was talking about. That we have a great deal to contribute to the world. Our time is nearly up, so I'm just going to read one more paragraph. Turn over the page. Number six. I think I've once mentioned this too. Number six is frightening. The Holocaust was not simply an unspeakable catastrophe for Jews. It was incomparably more destructive than other modern genocidal acts, not because of the diabolical evil of the Nazis, but because of the unique virtues and genius of its victims. It was an irretrievable loss and catastrophe for all humanity, depleting the entire species of intellectual resources that will be crucial to survival on an ever-threatened planet. Ironically, the rest of the world suffers far more than Jews from this loss of wealth-creating entrepreneurs and inventors. We were able to make it up, but the guys out there weren't able to make up the loss. Somebody once said, if those 6 million Jews would not have been destroyed, most probably cancer would have been, they would have found a cure for cancer. Who knows how many other things would have been cancer, would have been cured. But the awesome loss of that genius brain power. It's a fact. In other words, it's not because we're big chauvinists. You have to realize the fact and don't feel so uncomfortable about it. It's a matnatelukin. It's God. He created us. He made us into a people. He made us his people. He gave us his land. And thank God, despite being in a state of war for 64 years, you understand, we've succeeded in doing awesome things. And the only reason why Arabs who now call themselves Palestinians came here is because they came for the opportunities that we created here. Otherwise, for 1800 years, Eretz Yisrael was nothing. It was a dry, arid, dead land. So along comes the Rav Kook, and he says that in the process of Geula, lo b'chipazon teitzeyu, it's not going to be quick. It has to be a developmental, so that one, the world should realize what contribution we are making to them, and second, that we should go through the process of unburdening ourselves of all that we picked up during 2,000 years that's not genuine. Get rid of it. What a great explanation from Rav Kook. Awesome. Okay, everybody. That's it.